I was struggling with one of two messages to preach today, and I felt like going this direction. I got up this morning, and this may be more of a message for, I was thinking maybe for maybe a Wednesday night or something, a Sunday night, or but the Lord spoke to me and said, this is a message for everyone. And I'm going to be in the Old Testament. If you'll go to the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 13. And if you've struggled with your books or your Bible, go to Matthew and go back two books. So Zechariah is one of the minor prophets. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. Give you just a minute to find it. I like to hear the sound of pages turning. You know, it's something we don't have in a lot of churches anymore, is people bringing their Bibles. And I think the Bible is important. It's a witness to your neighbors when they see you leave for your house on Sunday mornings with your Bible tucked under your arm. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. And it said, and one shall say unto him, that is, we're talking about Jesus. It's an Old Testament prophecy that was being fulfilled. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I'm talking this morning about wounds. Wounds from those that he considered to be friends. We all have them. There are wounds that are self-inflicted. We have maybe placed wounds on others that if we had the chance to do it over again, we'd do things differently. So some of the wounds that we have are, that they're not necessarily your fault. Some wounds just come from living. We don't intend for things to happen, but they happen. The question is not, will you be wounded? The question is the response to the wounds that we have. You know, if there's one thing that we don't know how to do in the church, and that is to deal with the wounded. Some have made bad choices, and it's their fault. But there are children that are being raised in dysfunctional families that have no option. They wasn't asked. Their opinion wasn't considered. Maybe some of you that are sitting here today were deceived by others. Some have had maybe even their purity taken from them, from maybe some of those that was supposed to care for them, trusted in them. I thought about the wound of divorce that maybe you didn't want. It hurts. Friends that betray you and people that bullied you and abused you. Maybe even from your own family. It could come from rejection and betrayal. I could go on and on. And even sometimes our health will wound us. Many of you here today, at some point in time, come from another church and were wounded. My wife and I have often talked about this. This seems to be a healing place for the wounded. Preachers that have been voted out are hurt. Sometimes it's just the laity of the church that decides that they want to show the power that they have, and so they, They vote out the preacher. I know there's circumstances that they need to go. But I'll tell you what, if we start holding elections on pastoral positions and leaders in the church, it becomes a political office, and all I'm trying to do is win the next election instead of preaching you the gospel. Are you with me? Now, if I get out of love and I get out of the book, get rid of me. But if what I'm doing is I'm trying to encourage and to help, be careful. You can wound them. I've seen them. Children of church leaders, for no other reason than because it their parents had a position in the church, were wounded. Drug addicts and alcoholics, they've got scars in their life. I just don't know if we can use them or not, preacher. Wounded. Some wounds go deeper than others. I've seen here just recently the wounds of death. They're faced with a loss that they've never experienced before. They're no longer there. We can look at the wounded and say, don't fool with them. Don't mess with them. Act like they're not even here. Be careful. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 18, this is kind of what caught my attention. Israel had 41 kings and one queen. They had three kings in the United Kingdom of Israel. You remember they started out with Saul, then it was David, and then King Solomon. The kingdom's divided. You had the northern kingdom of Israel. There was 19 kings under the northern kingdom of Israel. You had 19 kings under the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, and one queen. Out of those 42 kings and queens, there was approximately 8 that started out as righteous kings. 5 of them ended up being good kings. All the kings of the tribes of Israel, the northern kingdom, was all evil and done wicked in the sight of the Lord. We have 5 total kings that done righteousness out of the kingdom of Judah, the southern tribes, out of all of them. Out of those 5, there was 2 that was revivalists. Josiah and Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the king that God rolled the sun back on the sundial, if you'll remember that. Hezekiah is the king that God added 15 years to his life. Hezekiah is the king that you remember whenever Jerusalem was under siege by the Sennacherib and also the Assyrians. Hezekiah was the king that God put in those battles and those circumstances. Hezekiah was the king that the angel of the Lord come during his reign and slew 185,000 Assyrians in one night. If I got your attention now. Look here in in chapter 18 and verse 5. He went through a lot of terrible battles. In verse number 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So there was none like him, there was none before him, and there was none after him. Whenever we get to reading the things that Hezekiah had done, what God is saying is, Hezekiah, you're the best. You are the best. He brought back nationwide Passover again to Jerusalem. He drove down the groves and tore down the idols. But what really got my attention on this is if you back up a couple of chapters, you'll remember that Hezekiah's father was a man by the name of King Ahaz. King Ahaz was a wicked king. His mother was Abiah. She was the daughter of Zechariah. But in chapter number 16 and verse 3, he says, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. He caused his son, Hezekiah, to pass through the fire. Well, preacher, what does that mean? They had a Canaanite god by the name of Molech. He had a bovine head, the head of a cow, the body of a human. It was a brazen image. His hands was outstretched. The pagan worship that his father was involved in. And yes, I say involved because he put Hezekiah in that position. Brother Virgil, they would take those young babies, usually their firstborn. They would take and offer them to the pagan gods for sacrifice. They would heat that brazen image up with fire underneath it till the hands become red hot. They would take that child, and as the pagan priests would begin to offer up the sacrifices, they would play drums and sound cymbals to drown out the screams and the cries of the infants and the smell of the flesh that was burning in the hands of that pagan god. They would offer up that child to the fire of Molech. I'm talking about being wounded. I can't help but think. You know, that there are some children that they offered up to that sacrifice of that idol, that Canaanite idol, that did not die. They did not burn to death. When they offered them up and they lived, it was a sign of rejection. That false idol, that false god, rejected the sacrifice. I can't imagine Hezekiah being raised up with a father that offered him to a false idol, and the false idol rejected him. Being a reject all of his life, not only just the physical scars of the burns, but the mental struggles that he was dealing with, that my father did not want me. He offered me up for sacrifice to be killed, to be burned alive. Yet Hezekiah says, I'm going to rise above my wounds. In spite of what the devil tried to do to me, in spite of the hurt, in spite of the afflictions in my body. The Bible said it like this. God said that there was none like him before him and none like him afterwards. Oh, but preacher, I've been hurt. You don't know what they done to me at that other church. I'm not denying your wounds. I'm not denying your alcoholism or your addiction to drugs or the things that you're divorced or the things you went through, the rejection, the things that you happened and it's just a child. I'm not denying that. But the question that I have for you this morning is, what are you going to do? Are you going to allow your wounds to keep your hands from praising a living God? I got interested again. I had known this at some point in time, and I went back and looked it back up. Went over the account again this morning, reread it. And I found out something about seeds. You know, I love nature. I'm just a country preacher at heart. I found out something about seeds. Seeds have a coat, what they call a coat on the outside. It's an outer shell. And I found out that some of the seeds, peas, squash, some of the just common seeds that we have, Brother Tim, you can take a file and you can scarify, what they call scarify, or scar the outside shell. You can take a little file and you can cut it until you get down to it'll brighten up in color, the dull outside coat, and you start to cut that and it gets, you crack that, is what you're doing. You're cracking that outer coat. And you soak that in water. And you'll have the full potential of the embryo inside. I think sometimes the Lord allows us to have wounds, to have scars, to get our full potential of what we can do. You know, the devil just, he just scarred the outer coat is all he done. So that I could soak in the Spirit of God and come to my full potential of what God has intended me for. I've been scarred in life. There have been times that I've thought I'm just going to give up. I'm going to quit. There's no reason for me to go any further. But then I think about, what am I going to do with these wounds? Jesus tells us in John chapter 20, you ever wonder why the man on the road of Emmaus did not know who he was? You remember the story. They walked with him. They talked with him. Did not our hearts burn within us? You ever wonder why they didn't recognize him? He'd been with the disciples. John chapter 20 and verse 24. He said, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. But the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see the hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God." This is after the resurrection. This is after that he told his disciples, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." This is after that he had already been glorified. He still had scars. He still had wounds. I can't help but wonder if he was looking down. Down in time. Saint Peter, I see that you're going to be crucified upside down. James, you'll be stoned to death. Bartholomew, you'll be flayed alive. Thomas, you'll be stabbed through with a spear. Matthew, you'll die from the sword. Jude, you'll be shot with a bow. Simeon, they're going to saw you in two. Matthias wasn't there yet. Matthias, you'll be stoned. John, they're going to put you in a pot of oil and try to boil you alive, but they're not going to be able to kill you. They'll exile you to the Isle of Patmos. I've seen people in church that have been hurt. I'm not denying that you have not been hurt. You've been wounded. You'll sit in church and you'll allow those wounds to make you sit in your pew and never get up. My question this morning is not have you been wounded. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to go ahead and praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and preach the gospel. I'm going to go ahead and try my best. I may not be perfect. I may have wounds and I may have scars. The battle has been weary at times. But I'll tell you what, I think God will look down and say, "He may not be right, he may not be perfect all the time, but there's a preacher that loves me. There's a preacher that loves the gospel. There's a preacher that loves his flock. There's a preacher that'll praise me whenever he's down, whenever he's out, when things are not going good. He'll still lift his hands up and worship me." What will it be this morning? Are you going to sit there and pick and fester at your wounds and let them get festered and infected? And you know what? It'll eventually kill you. I was one of them kids that always liked to scratch scabs off. Mama say, "You keep picking at that, you're going to get infantigo." I never knew what that was. We sometimes can sit in wool and just wallow in our misery. Or we could be like King Hezekiah, rejected of his parents, scarred for life. And I'm sure he put on that priestly robe and said, "I wonder what God thinks of me now." What is it going to be? The question is, it's not, did you do it? The question is not, are you guilty? We've all made mistakes. We've all got things in our past that we wish we could cover up. The question this morning is, are you going to let it stop you?